is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by the Ocedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
So, this is Bellhaven, Kate.
Yep, home.
Oh, I'm sure glad you're driving. I'd never find my way.
Oh, that's right. You've never been here before, have you, Trudy?
Well, I will someday.
Oh, I'm always glad to come home. But this time, I'd like to be driving right on down to the city.
Well, come on.
Oh, I can't. I haven't seen Isabel since she was in London. I know they're all upset here about my going to Gull Island. I have to see them.
How much are you going to tell them?
Nothing, unless I have to.
What do you mean, have to?
Oh, I just don't want to seem to be hiding anything. I don't want them to know what I found out about Tom. You see, the Wakefield name still means something here.
I saw it in the library back there. Kate, what are you going to do about that letter you phoned?
Well, it was addressed to Stephen Wolfe, so I'm going to give it to him.
You are?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a copy of it, but Trudy, it can't hurt me. There's nothing in it, really.
Oh, boy. You certainly aren't the bundle of nerves you were when we started on the trip.
I was terrified of what I'd find at Gull. All I found was that Tom was once in a drug ring.
No.
But nothing about where or how or anything that could be hidden away that might involve me.
Boy, you've certainly changed.
I know. I feel changed.
I wonder why.
It's as though I'd been through a nightmare and just waked up.
Mm. What did Tony say, Kate?
Well, he said it was us now, together. Against all obstacles. Together. It's quite a word, isn't it?
It's the biggest word in the world when it's honest.
Oh, and Tony was on it.
Okay, I might have known. If you ever fell in love, you'd fall all the way.
Oh, here's the house.
Huh?
Trudy, won't you come in with me?
Thanks, Kate, but I want to get back home, too.
I know. Oh, Trudy, will you do me a favor?
Sure.
I have rattled on like a 16-year-old. Will you just forget it?
What?
Everything. Everything I said about Tony and me.
Oh, sure, I wouldn't say anything for the world. But that's up to you.
Well, an awful lot has to happen before we can have anything to do about it. Mm. Or even talk about it. Tony has his problem.
Kate, I have an idea that Tony will work those out. Now.
Oh, and I've got to get rid of Stephen Wolfe. Trudy, I didn't know I could ever feel so mixed up and so happy and all at the same time.
How are you, Mitchell?
Good evening, Mr. Cushing. I'm very well, sir. Just as I was this morning when you left. Your day seems to have agreed with you, sir.
Would you believe I flew up to Maine and back and changed the world in one day?
It's been changed before, sir. On the seventh day, the Lord rested.
Mitchell, you can certainly deflate a man.
Deflate, sir? I merely believe in perspective.
What have you done to the lobby? It looks brighter.
That's what I mean, sir.
I think I've been living in this club too long.
Yes, sir.
Have I seen messages in my box?
Oh, several, sir. I may say so, the wire has been rather warm.
All right, let's have them.
There you are, sir.
Thank you. Three from Mrs. Cushing?
Well, she seemed most anxious to speak with you, sir.
Well, let's see. What time is it?
17 and a half minutes past the hour.
She'll be out to dinner now.
Well, if I may suggest, I don't think so, sir.
How do you know?
Well, I take a great many calls from excitable ladies to the gentlemen in this club.
Mrs. Cushing is not excitable.
No, sir, but she is definite.
Oh, yes.
If I may say so, sir, with her last message, she said she would wait at her hotel to hear from you. If it took all night.
I see. Anything more?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir.
I don't think I want to hear it.
Very good, sir.
Oh, come on, Mitchell. You were married once, weren't you?
Oh, I never permit private experience to intrude on my duty.
What else did Mrs. Cushing say?
Well, she said, sir, I quote, that if she did not hear from you before midnight, she would be here in your rooms.
Fortunately, this is a man's club.
Unfortunately, sir, we have surrendered.
Oh, Lord, yes. Mitchell, how do you handle women?
I found out, sir, long before the board of directors did, that surrender is not only unavoidable, but it takes less time.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Kate, I'm so glad you're home.
And I'm so glad to see you, Isabel and Jessie.
It was too much for Jessie. I think she retired to dry her eyes.
You make me feel guilty, Isabel.
Oh, nonsense. We missed you, and that's the way it should be.
I think I'll go down with Jessie and have a good cry. Oh, how are you? You look as gay as ever. Was London divine?
Well, if you overlook inflation and November weather and my ex-husband, London is always divine.
So you saw him?
I went to see him, and I did. And I saw a lot of other people, too.
Well, next time I'm going with you. Absolutely. Oh, doesn't everything here look wonderful? How would you and Jessie keep up this place? Are you going to stay here for good?
Oh, yes.
And open the house and have wonderful parties again? Kind of used to tell me about
Kate.
It. Only you must have more lights
Kate.
On. Oh, Isabel, it's so good to be here.
Now, what about you?
Well, I'm just as you see me.
You're not just as I see you. You're chattering on as if nothing had happened.
I know. I did miss Thanksgiving with you, and I'm sorry for that. But the Wheelers were terribly nice to me, and well, it wasn't the same, but they really did seem glad to have me.
Why didn't you tell us you were going up to Gull Island?
I made up my mind on the spur of the moment.
Any particular reason?
Yes, I wanted to see the house again. I thought if Tom had left anything personal there, any papers or anything, I'd get them. Well, you know, I just closed the door and walked out of the place the day after Tom drowned. I knew I had to go back someday.
I have the oddest feeling, Kate, that I'm not really talking to you. Or you're not talking to me. Now, why don't you go upstairs and get unpacked, and we'll visit later, if that's all it's to be.
No, Isabel, I didn't mean it to sound that way.
I know you don't mean to, but that's the way you are sounding, Kate.
Okay. What do you want to know, Isabel?
I want you to sound like yourself, Kate, frank and open.
I'm not trying to deceive you. I had to go up to Gull Island. Now, if I had told you first, you would have had all kinds of objections.
Of course. We all worried.
We? Well, David. And Henry. Henry is not only worried, he's deeply hurt, Kate. He knows you've seen Stephen Wolfe, and he can't understand why you won't take him into your confidence. I've never really left Belhaven, have I? Not if you still love them. Kate, did Tony call you up there?
Tony?
He came here to ask where he could reach you. He was worried, too. I gave him the Wheeler's telephone number.
He came up to Gull Island.
Oh, Kate. The man should leave you alone. I think I should tell you. When I was in London, I met his wife.
I've met her, too.
I was shocked, Kate. I'm so sorry. I had thought Tony was about everything a man should be.
Oh, Isabel, he is. Everything.
Kate, darling. You're in love with him.
Yes. But I'm not kidding myself.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, and Joan Shea as Trudy. Also appearing were Mary Jane Higby and Bryna Rayburn. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Music supervisor, John Anthony. Written by Margaret LaWorth and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Mel Brandt. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
To the audience of Vanity Fair, salutations from its author, William Makepeace Thackeray. Ah, the snow is deep, the weather inclement, the times unsettling. But this day is not fated to pass without Vanity Fair. Tell me, dear listeners, is there anyone among you so cluddish as not to admire the skill with which Miss Becky Sharp of late has manipulated Miss Matilda Crawley? If such there be, then my advice to you, sir or madam, is to read Mr. Johnson's dictionary as worthy of your taste. The others of us with more discrimination will take note that Rawdon tonight arrived in Park Lane, driving the new coach and pair Becky has wangled for him from his auntie. That generous lady sleeps. Miss Briggs sleeps. So, no danger that the lovers will be overheard as they gaze out the drawing room window at the handsome equipage.
Oh, drat the snow and sleet and rain and puddles.
I wanted to sit beside you on the box and drive round and round London till the sun came up.
If ever it comes up again, what foul weather London has in winter.
Oh, never mind, my darling. For us, all will be sunlight soon.
Oh, Becky, you've decided.
Certainly I've decided. I'm determined.
You'll marry me. We elope. Dad, now I've panted for this. Tomorrow, the next day. No later, I won't hear of it.
Oh, Rawdon, sweetest, no.
What? No? You said you decided.
Decided all will be well for us soon. Soon. There'll be no need to elope. That's the sunlight, I mean. Soon we can be married for all the world to see, but especially your auntie.
Damn it all, Beck, you're getting round me again, putting me off.
No, I'm not, I'm not. Don't be quiet and hear what wonders came to pass this day. I caused a quarrel between your Becky and your auntie.
You call that a wonder? Bloody dangerous, I call it.
So said Giles, but listen. After the quarrel, I packed my trunk and told Auntie I was returning to Queen's Crawley.
Good Gad, what if she'd let you go?
No, but she didn't. Am I not still here?
All the same, one of these days you'll go too far. Aunt Matilda's temper would shame the devil. She could have sent you packing.
Could, but didn't, as I knew she'd not.
Oh, I ought to teach you to play at cards. You've a gambler's instinct for knowing when to bet all on the turn of a card.
Oh, dearest, you don't yet see how important it is she'd not let me depart. I've made her know how much she needs and wants me with her.
Anyone not an imbecile would need and want you. No one more than I.
Well, you know it. Miss C didn't. Now she does. Nor is that all. Here is the truly wondrous. She said, I am a daughter to her.
Did she?
Now, will you admit your Becky is clever?
Have I ever said not? A daughter? By Jove, you're right. We can be married now for all the world to see. Come, we'll wake her. Tell her you're not her daughter, but her niece.
Rawdon, Rawdon, not yet.
But damn it, why not? What's to prevent? Let the old girl fume and fuss. What matter? She'll get over it. You've wrapped her right round your finger like you wrapped me.
No, 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 no. She must think of it herself. Want it herself.
How could she do that? You've set it up. You and I don't get on. And you love that damned Hooten interloper.
Exactly. If we tell her all suddenly we want to wed, we make a fool of her. Admit we tricked her. Never would she forgive us that.
Gad, you're right. Always right. What do we do then?
Ah, remember how you told her you quarreled with Lady Blessington and that way we were rid of the love you never loved? I tell her I have quarreled with my Gordy and we're rid of the love I never loved.
Joe.
It will be safe then for us to be more and more and more friendly. Till by and by she is used to the idea of you and me. Then one day, I shall have to lead her by the nose. One day it will be her idea that I should be her niece. You see how simple it is? What's the matter? Is it not a perfect plan?
Damn me, Becky, it could take months.
Could, but I'll not let it. You've my promise.
Yours. But what of hers?
Her promise? What promise?
She's a snob, Auntie is. Promised herself I'd marry into the aristocracy. Are you to change her mind about that?
Yes.
How?
I don't know, but I will. It may be enough she thinks my mother was a French countess. I'll play upon that.
French won't do. British. Lady somebody. No less.
Rawdon? Ah, look out the window.
Window? Oh, stopped snowing, has it?
No. What stands at the curb?
Watchman calling the hour. 12 o'clock, all is well. All is not well.
No, 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 beyond the watchman.
My coat?
Yes, my love. Who got it for you, even though your auntie vowed she'd not buy you one?
My Becky.
And who will get a bride for you named Becky, even though your auntie vowed she'd be named Lady Somebody?
My Becky.
Then kiss your Becky and stop your... Oh, a bell. Oh, she's awake. She wants me. Tis a sign. All is well. And I must begin to woo her this very night.
I had a frightful dream, Rebecca.
Do you want to tell it me?
No, no, no. Telling of it would bring it back.
You mustn't try to sleep till the dream is forgot. I'll stir up the coals in the grate, and we'll talk a while.
How good you are.
And light a candle to lighten the dark, and the dream will fade away.
Yes, do. Has Rawdon gone?
It is quite some time past.
The drive? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, we didn't go.
Oh, fine. I ordered him to take you.
He would have done, but
Snow, sleet, and open carriage. Tomorrow, perhaps. Are you certain Rawdon wasn't avoiding you?
Oh, quite certain.
Are you avoiding him?
Oh, Miss Crawley, we get on very well now. Indeed, tonight he asked me to call him Rawdon, and he's to call me Becky. Oh, I hope you don't mind.
Oh, why should I mind?
If he left earlier, why were you downstairs when I rang?
Oh, I had a caller. How thankful I was for your bell. I wanted him gone.
He? Who?
Private Kiner.
Oh, your Gordy.
Oh, he is not my Gordy any longer. We had a most serious quarrel, Miss Crawley.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, I must say, you don't sound very sad over it.
Nor am I. He revealed a side of his character I didn't suspect. He is thoughtless and selfish and bull.
Oh, dear me. What was it you had words about?
You.
I?
He demands I elope with him.
What is this? He said in this very room he was flatly opposed to marriage until the war on the continent ends.
Well, women are said to change their minds upon the merest whim. Men are no better.
Gordy, of a sudden, decides I must marry him at once. His exact words, tomorrow, the next day, no later, I won't hear of it.
But what has this to do with me? I am not to take care of you anymore. He'll share me with no one. He would pay no heed when I said I'd not leave you ill, or any time, so long as you wanted me.
Let the old girl fume and fuss.
His very words. To talk of you that way. I explained that you think of me as a daughter. You did say that, did you not, dear Miss Crawley?
I did.
Ah, he cares naught for you, therefore I cannot care for him. Mr. Shakespeare said, they do not love that do not show their love. Gordy Kiner is nobody to me now. He does not show his love.
I confess myself astonished by all this, Rebecca. How quick you are finished with him. One quarrel, one.
Very odd. Blow out the candle. I think I shall sleep upon this. And you had best do the same.
My dear listeners, pray do not blame Becky for undue speed in this matter. Blame Rawdon, his impatience, not hers. Tomorrow, yes, you shall meet a gentleman you would sooner not meet. And I am your obliged servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. You by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. So I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Well, the dinner tonight, Mrs. Baxter, is a feast for the gods, a true gourmet's delight.
Oh, listen to him. Now he tells me we're having leftovers.
Oh, well, dear, the dinner doesn't seem like leftovers. It's very good.
Mom?
Yes, Debbie, tonight we will trim the tree.
But you haven't even been up to the attic to find the things, and I couldn't find them last night. I could not find any box that was labeled Christmas.
Debbie, dear, you can't find anything. It's right in front of your nose. Mother will find them.
Well, will you go up and look for them now? I'll do the dishes.
Well, that's the best offer Debbie has made for a long time, Debbie.
I know. I better take her up on it.
I'll do all the dishes, Aunt Maggie, if you'll help Mother find the Christmas things.
Oh, Aunt Maggie wouldn't have any idea where to look. And anyhow, I know just where they are, dear.
Well, how come you didn't bring them down today? I expected to come home and find the tree all decorated.
Oh, no, we wouldn't do without you, dear. Anyhow, I went into town today to finish up my shopping.
Oh, did you?
No, I still have some things to get.
Well, I did all my Christmas shopping in October.
Aunt Maggie, that's the kind of remark that could make a person very unpopular.
Yes, I know. But I've always done my Christmas shopping early.
Have you done any, Bob?
No. You know me, you always do mine at the last minute.
When everything's picked over.
Right.
Haven't you bought my present yet?
No, can't think what to get.
Oh, I gave you some ideas. In fact, I gave you one very good idea for Peggy.
You did?
Yes. I told you exactly what she really wanted and needs.
What are you talking about, Aunt Maggie? I can't think of anything I really want or need.
Well, I do.
Oh, well, I'll find something.
There's no sense giving Bob ideas, Aunt Maggie. He doesn't like that. He likes to think up things himself. He'll find something. He learned quite a lesson the first Christmas we were married.
What did he give you?
Money. Oh, I was furious. I think husbands who can't take the time and trouble to look for a present for their wife, you know, even if it's just some small thing, it doesn't have to be expensive, but something, you know,
oh,
to unwrap.
Yes, I certainly learned quite a lesson.
Oh, yes, 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 Debbie. I'll go to the attic right away. You get the dishes done, and then we will trim the tree.
What do you mean you can't find the Christmas tree trimming?
I mean just that. I can't find any of our decorations.
Well, they must be somewhere here in the attic.
I know.
You better get a sweater or something. It's cold up here, you know.
God, I'd come up here and find them right away. I've looked everywhere.
What's this over here?
No, those are your things. High school and college scrapbooks.
What's in that old trunk?
It's my grandmother's. Just some things of hers I want to save. A patchwork quilt she made for me. Flower garden pattern. No, I guess it's the double wedding ring pattern. I've never gone around having it quilted, things like that.
What's in this box here?
Oh, summer clothes.
Well, how about over in this corner? There's lots of stuff over here.
No, that's just some curtains and bedspreads and things like that we don't need, but I don't want to throw them out.
Well, what's in this box?
Samples of our wallpaper in case we have to do any repairs.
Well, what's back here?
Oh, I don't know, honey. The rocking horse of Tom's, Debbie's little rocker, the baby bed, umbrella for the patio table. That's
why are you saving the baby bed? Are you planning more children?
Maybe someday we'll have grandchildren.
Well, our kids will probably want to buy a new baby bed.
Well, they'll come to visit, and then we'll need a baby bed.
That's true. Grandparents. Oh, I can't even begin to think of myself as a grandfather, can you? Or a grandmother?
No, not at all. Seems like yesterday we got married, doesn't it?
Hey.
What?
What are these?
Oh.
Whose are they?
Oh, they're yours. They're your baby shoes. I've always been going to have them bronzed. And I've never gotten around to it.
I can't believe I ever had feet this small.
Hey, what are you doing up here?
Oh, I can't find the tree trimmings, Debbie. I have looked everywhere.
Do you think you threw them out when you cleaned the attic this summer?
No, 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 no. Why would I throw them out? They have to be here somewhere. You go back downstairs. It's cold up here. I'll keep on looking. Throw me up a sweater, will you, Debbie?
Okay, Mom.
Now, tell me what we're looking for. What did you have all the Christmas stuff in?
Boxes, boxes, corrugated boxes. And they're labeled Christmas. There's about four of them. The lights, the boxes of red and green and gold Christmas balls, the decorations, the Santa Claus, and the red mouse, and the choir boys, and the angels, and all the things for the manger, the cows and pigs and all that, and the three wise men, and the sleigh with Santa Claus, and those salt and pepper shakers that are two red mice with red stocking caps, you know, all those things.
How big were the boxes?
I don't know. Like that one over there. I had some pine cones and all that artificial wreath for the front door. And the outdoor ribbons for the mailbox?
Well, I really don't know where to look.
I know. Well, don't you worry about it. You go back downstairs. Get out of this cold attic. I'll find them.
Now, you don't think you could possibly have thrown them out by mistake, do you?
Oh, no.
You're so quick to throw things out. You hate to save things.
I would not have thrown out our Christmas things, dear. All the little tree decorations that we've accumulated all our married life. Even some I had when I was little. I mean, all the things that have memories.
Honey, I know you. When you get on one of your throw-out binges...
I would not have thrown out Christmas things even by mistake. Now, just go on back downstairs and let me look. They have to be here. Someplace. No, I couldn't have thrown them out.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
All right. Now, stop crying. That doesn't help anything. Now, here. Sit by the fire, Peggy, and warm up. You're like an icicle up there in that attic for hours.
God, I just can't believe it. I have gone through everything, every single box.
Mother didn't have this passion for throwing things out.
Now, you leave your mother alone, Debbie. She feels badly enough. Go upstairs to your room and go to bed. It's time you went to bed anyway. It's nearly 11:30. Now, go to bed.
I have to study.
If you have studying to do, you shouldn't have been decorating the tree anyway. Studying comes first.
Oh, I remember the bluebird you bought me, Daddy, the one we always hung on the tree. You bought me that when I was so little, and I just loved it.
Debbie, I am sorry.
All right, go upstairs, Debbie. Leave Mother alone. She's upset enough. Now, go.
All right. I'm going.
Oh, I guess this will be just about the worst Christmas we've ever had. I'm so sorry. All the things we've collected for years. I don't blame Debbie for being mad and upset. I do throw things out, but I certainly don't remember throwing out all those boxes of Christmas things. I just don't see how it could have happened.
All right, drink your hot chocolate. Aunt Maggie made it for you.
Where is she?
She went upstairs to bed.
Not only the little bluebird you bought, Debbie. Remember the gold angel you bought me our first Christmas after we were married with the big gold wings? And the iridescent snowbird? And Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer? And he had this cute little smile.
Honey,
I mean, I've just thrown out 20 years of memories.
So we'll start over. Now, come on, now dry those tears.
I wish you'd bawl me out. I'd feel better.
I love you.
I don't know why. I've been very stupid and careless.
Look, it's not the end of the world.
It seems like it. Little special things you hang on the Christmas tree every year mean so much. Things you've had and I had and our children had and they're gone. This is the end of a certain world.
Honey, please, forget it. You've got me and I've got you.
Well, I don't know why you even want me. I'd be furious with you if you'd been so stupid.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think that what happened, you know, when I asked you to take those boxes to the Goodwill and the Salvation Army, that I probably not marked them properly. I remember thinking I must get a good magic marker pencil and mark those boxes.
What boxes?
Remember when I said pick up those boxes in the attic and take them to the Goodwill and Salvation Army? They had some old clothes in them?
Yes.
Well, I think we picked up the wrong boxes because I just found those boxes of old clothes and I thought, typical of Bob, he didn't take those things to the Salvation Army and the Goodwill.
Yes, you know. I did. I remember carrying them down the stairs.
No, dear, I'm sorry, but they're still there. You took the Christmas boxes. Which I had not labeled, though I thought I did. Those are what you took to the Salvation Army. It's not your fault. I didn't
boxes
say that.
Boxes about this big, about four of them?
Four or five.
I didn't take them.
What?
I know you asked me to, but I didn't take them. They're still in the garage under the drop cloth I used to pick up leaves in. Come on, let's go look.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm coming. What do you mean they're still
in the garage? Come on. Grab that jacket. It's cold in the garage.
What do you mean? That was 3 months ago I asked you to take the boxes.
I know, but I just forgot.
Yeah,
and the other day I saw the boxes again, and I thought, Peg asked me to drop those off at the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
It was a nuisance, so I put it off.
Oh, Mommy. Oh, our Christmas thing. Oh, thank you. Oh, here's Rudolph the rat.
Gee, for once I'm not going to get bawled out for not doing something I should have done.
I heard somebody was tearing through the house and out the door.
Oh, Bob really gave all our Christmas things to the Salvation Army.
Why? What a funny thing to do. Why would you give all your lovely Christmas decorations to the Salvation Army?
No, you don't.
No, Aunt Maggie. I'll explain. Oh. Come on, let's get to bed, dear. We'll decorate the tree tomorrow. No.
Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray for application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement. Print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day Magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Do everything Dr. Gonzalez tells you to, Jennifer. Oh, Charlie's fine. I think he misses you a lot. He's been sleeping on your bed. I know you're coming home tomorrow. Yes, I'll see you this afternoon when I come on duty, and I'll help you with your exercises, so you practice now. Oh, someone's at the door, honey. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Oh. Hello.
Is Mrs. Carter in?
No, she's not here.
I see. I'm Cora Finch.
Oh, well, Betsy's Aunt Cora.
Yes.
Well, I'm Angela Fairchild, Emily's sister. Won't you come in?
Thank you. I brought a fruitcake I made.
Well, that's so kind of you. I know Emily will love it. She's at the hospital with Jennifer right now.
How is Jennifer?
She's getting better every day. And she'll be home tomorrow.
Well, this will be a good Christmas for all of you.
Yes, we have a lot to celebrate.
It must have been hard on your sister.
Mm-hmm. But she's managing. Emily always does, it seems. Oh, can you stay for a cup of coffee? I just made some.
Well, yes, thank you, Miss Fairchild.
My niece, Susie, has been telling us about you.
Well, there's not much to tell.
Well, she thinks she knows a lot about you. At least, what your home was like when you were young and the kind of schools you and your sister went to?
Oh, yes. She and Betsy just can't seem to hear enough about the good old days, they call them.
How is Betsy?
Oh, I don't think she's a very happy girl.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Is it anything special?
Well, as I remember, 16 isn't an easy time. My looter started talking about running away from home and joining the Navy about that time.
How did you talk him out of it?
Well, now, let me see. Well, Zeb, my husband, took him down to the Navy recruiting office and had the man there tell him just what the Navy thought of 16-year-old boys who hadn't finished high school.
And it worked?
It certainly did. Like a lot of things, if you go right to the center, you find out what you need to know.
Paul and Helen have left already, dear?
Yes. First thing this morning, Em.
You know, I can see why you like Paul so much.
Well, as old army buddies go, he's pretty good.
I wish he could have stayed longer.
Well, he's a very busy doctor in Brixton.
I was surprised that Helen didn't seem very anxious to go home with him. Jason, mm-hmm. Do you think that Paul and Helen are...
Well, it could be, Em. I hope not.
Oh, what a shame. Mm. I liked Helen, in spite of the fact that she was an old girlfriend of yours.
Well, maybe they'll work things out when they get home.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes. Em?
Hmm?
It's going to be a wonderful Christmas for us all.
Oh, Jason, I can't think of when we've had so much to celebrate. It'll be a very special Christmas.
Yes, indeed. Jan will probably be completely spoiled.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of Jennifer.
What do you mean?
Well, it'll probably be our last Christmas all together.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, they're growing up, Jason. Next year, Bobby may be off somewhere doing what he wants to do.
Oh,
and...
I see.
Oh, well, darling, we have to get used to the idea.
Yes, I know. So, we'll try to make this one something to remember, Emily, huh?
Oh, Jason, look at the time. It's late, and I promised Jennifer I'd help her with her exercises. We'd better get back.
Well, where have you been, Cora? I came in and you were gone.
Well, I thought I'd take a fruitcake over to Emily Carter.
Oh, Cora, that's just like you. How is she? And Jennifer, too.
Well, she wasn't there. She's at the hospital with Jennifer.
Oh, well, you were gone a long time.
Angela Fairchild was there.
Oh? What did you think of her?
Well, from what I could tell, she seems like a nice person.
Oh, that's the way she seems. Why is she always at her sister's? She's there all the time.
Well, she's helping out, Ginger, after Jennifer's accident.
Well, that's just one more time. Look at all the others.
Well, why do you think it's not strange for me to be here and so strange for Angela to be at her sister's?
Well, that's different.
Oh, I wish I had a penny for every time you've said that.
It's true. You're visiting, and Angela Fairchild has her own place.
I just ought to give up trying to figure out the way you think, Ginger.
Did you and she talk about Marsh?
No, we didn't.
Well, what did you talk about then?
The children, Jennifer, and Betsy.
What did you say about Betsy?
We agreed that 16 is not an easy age.
Well, what would she know about that?
Well, she does have a niece, Susie. And Susie is Betsy's age.
It's not the same thing as being a mother.
They say mother knows best, but sometimes I wonder.
What do you mean?
Well, when children don't turn out the way parents expect them to nowadays, I wonder what mother knew that was so much better.
Oh, Cora. How is Betsy?
You see her every day. You're her mother, Ginger.
I'm going to talk to Marsh about sending her away to a private school.
Does she want to go?
I haven't asked her yet.
Well, you'd better. She's old enough to have her own ideas.
I want to talk to Marsh about it first.
I hope you know what you're doing. Anyway, I'll be back in Burtonsville when you get into that.
Oh, do you have to leave, Cora?
Well, I talked to Zeb last night. And he's getting pretty lonely, and Christmas is coming, and, well, I miss him, too.
I'm going to be awfully lonely when you go.
Oh, you've got Marsh. You've got Betsy. You have a lot, Ginger, if you just knew what to do with it.
Jason, this happens every Christmas.
I know, Angela, but there was an awfully good reason this time.
I know, because of Jennifer.
Well, I never know what to get Emily for Christmas, and this year...
After 19 Christmases?
Well, what do you think of a long trip? Maybe to South America or Hawaii. Em and I have always wanted to do that.
Sounds great. When?
Right after Christmas.
Can you get away, Jason?
Oh, don't you worry. I'll manage.
What about Emily's physical condition?
Well...
I mean, how can you plan to go on a long trip when you don't know what's the matter with her?
Well, she seems to be all right now.
Mm-hmm. She's on the medication. It's probably masking all the symptoms. And you haven't heard yet from Zabo. Or have you?
Well, I asked him to recheck everything before he sends in a report.
Oh, then he has given you a tentative diagnosis.
Oh, no, no.
I don't understand it. It's been 3 weeks.
Well, these things take time, Angela. Anything in the neurological area.
Have you thought of consulting another neurologist?
Well, Angela, Szabo's the best there is.
So I've heard. That's why I can't understand why it's taking so long.
Well, they're using computers to check the tests, and that takes time, you know, to program them.
I thought computers were supposed to save time. Tell me, what does Marsh have to say?
What do you mean?
Well, he's a fiend for early diagnosis. He says that's half the battle if there's to be effective treatment and cure.
Yes, I know.
Putting off seeing a doctor and not getting an early diagnosis is a cardinal sin in his book.
Angela, I know Marsh as well as you do.
Well, then get after him. Look, if you want to give Emily a great Christmas present that would really mean something to her, finding out there's nothing seriously wrong with her would really be it.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.